Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Mike calling on the line. You there, Mike?
Charles,
Mike from New York.
Hi, Charles. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, great guest, great topic. I'm glad I just happened to catch some of it. Coming in a little late, guys. I don't know if you mentioned the Bode's Law and the mathematical formula that were able to figure out the periodicity of planets in orbit in relation to the sun. And that's how they stumbled upon the asteroid belt via that Bode's Law formula.
Yes, he did make reference.
Yeah.
And your guest is absolutely right that it's really the remnants of a shattered planet. And it definitely blew up. And maybe what is not known amongst many pursuing this particular topic is that that planet at one time was known as Lucifer.
Well, actually, in the ancient texts, it's very interesting what the planet was known as.
Tiamat.
Because if we examine the Sumerian texts, that planet was known as Tiamat. And Tiamat occurs in the earliest mention of a cosmic war in a Babylonian text by the name of the Enuma Elish, which many people misinterpret as a creation text. But if you read the actual text itself, most of it is concerned with a description of this interplanetary, what I would consider the first interplanetary war in the solar system, and with the destruction of that planet by means of some extraordinarily powerful, and I would be of the opinion, some sort of scalar or torsion-based weaponry. So it's, again...
Hey, you know, it just came to mind, the Star Wars scenario, you know, the first episode that was produced anyway, when they destroy, Princess Leia's home planet Alderaan, you know.
Right.
They used that beam weapon, if you will, and wiped out the whole planet. Maybe they're borrowing that idea from these ancient texts.
Well, now you've opened up a Pandora's box, Charles. because... One of the things I talk about in the second of my pyramid books, the book that's called The Giza Death Star Deployed, is precisely the amazingly detailed correspondences between the Star Wars movie and some of these ancient texts. For example, in the movie, the Death Star relies on interferometry. In other words, several beams interfered on a particular target. If you recall the movie, there's about eight or nine laser beams that converge in front of the Death Star and then shoot out across the sky and hit the planet. Well, in point of fact, the type of physics that I believe was behind the destruction of that planet would have employed a similar type of interferometry, although these beams would have been longitudinal and invisible. But the second parallel is the name Anakin Skywalker himself, because that is a very rough and loose assonance on the Sumerian term Anunnaki. Their whole conception in the movie of the Force as being a quasi-religio-physics type thing is again paralleled in the ancient text. So in other words, the detailed parallels between the movie and the ancient text, I think, is more than coincidental.
Yeah.
May I also mention that Zechariah, the Sumerian, just they called it Tiamat, and Zechariah Sitchin claims that the planet was shattered from the impact upon the planet Nibiru passing its way through. That's his take on it.
Right.
But I believe, based on my sources, which goes back a long time ago, way before Zechariah ever published his work on this, and the Sumerian archaeological evidence had came forward, I knew it as from the legends that it was called Maldek or Lucifer, and that it blew up due to warfare, just like your guest is saying. And... also, the asteroids are...
I tell you what, Mike, hold that thought, and we'll pick it up when we get back from the break.
Sure, thank you.
Oh, heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Hey guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. And we'll pick up where we left off, which I forgot where we left off. Where were we?
I think
hey, Charlie,
we were talking to Mike and he was talking about Zechariah Sitchin.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
And, gentlemen, I was mentioning how the asteroids are the crust portion of the planet. Now, what's really amazing is the comets. We're told that comets are chunks of ice floating around, but they do have an orbit, and like the asteroids, they are locked in an orbit, and that's because the comets are actually the inner sun of the planets that are shattered for whatever reason, and they're comets, and that's why they're balls of light. And when Hale Bopp came by, I went out and I got a high-power telescope, and I verified by observing Hale Bopp passing by that no way is that a chunk of ice. It's a ball of fire. And, of course, if it was a chunk of ice, just think about it. Ice melts. The comets have to disappear eventually if it was just a ball of ice floating around. And every time it passed by the sun, it would melt further and further, and eventually it's going to disappear. But they are literally balls of fire streaking through the sky. When I observed that to be a fact, I verified what I learned from my old teachers, that comets are really inner suns of a shattered planet. The planets are really hollow.
Let me respond to several issues here. The first would be Zechariah Sitchin and the idea that the planet that was blown up by means of a collision. There is a tremendous physics problem involved with this, and I discuss it at some length in the Giza Death Star Deployed and then again in the Giza Death Star Destroyed, and that is the idea of a Roche limit, which is a technical physics term for a kind of a natural defense shield that exists around any massive body, such that any other massive body entering through that limit is usually going to be torn apart by tidal stresses, just like happened to the comet Schumacher-Levy before it hit the planet Jupiter. It was actually ripped apart by the tremendous gravity of the planet itself. So the physics of blowing up a planet by means of another planet colliding with it is very difficult for that reason, but it's also difficult for another reason, in that any large massive body with sufficient energy and force behind it to do that is going to leave the signature of orbital perturbations on all of the planets in the solar system. This we do not find. I just don't think that there's sufficient eccentricity in the orbits of all the planets to indicate that this was the mechanism that did it. The second problem with Sitchin is, as many have pointed out, that his translations are questionable. So in the Cosmic War, when I talk about the Sumerian texts that I use in the book, and I cite them extensively, I cite the translations of accredited academics in the field. I cite Stephanie Daly from the University of Oxford and some of her translation work. I cite the work of Thorkild Jakobsen from Yale University and so on and so forth. So my point with doing that is precisely to avoid the methodological problem of being accused of construing the translations to fit my theory. I don't do that at all. So I avoid that problem that Sitchin encountered. The third idea about planets as nothing but balls of ice, you're correct in that I myself believe that to be an entirely erroneous theory, although I do not explore it at any great length in the Cosmic War at all, because it really isn't the focus of the book.
Very good, sir. Well, I think your work is very worthwhile for everybody to pursue, because this is a part of the history of our solar system that gives us a lot of explanations as to why we're in the situation we are, because, gentlemen, the bottom line to all of this is that those evil scientists that developed what I know as the technologies of death that could actually even rip apart planets, they're here.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the same intention to doing it to us if they don't have their way.
And quite possibly they're here because of resurrection of this ancient technology.
Yeah, well, they brought it back. They're here. The technology is here because they're here. They brought it back. They're the minds that can devise those that black type of evil intention. They're the ones that are capable of such genius, evil genius, to manipulate nature in such a way for destruction instead of God's way of technologies known as the technologies of light, which are for life. And so they're here, gentlemen. There's no mistake in that. They're here now, and they got our world in their grip as well.
Yeah, we're in a mess, no question about it.
If I can respond a little bit to that.
Sure.
One of the things that I do in the previous book, and I should let your listeners know, my books were deliberately sequenced in the order that they were written. In other words, there was a plan behind the order of the appearance of the books. So it may seem rather strange that I wrote two books about the Great Pyramid and then a book about Nazi secret weapons, Return to the Great Pyramid, and then Return to Nazi secret weapons, and now I'm talking about the Cosmic War. But it is my belief And I go through this very extensively in the previous book, which is called The SS Brotherhood of the Bell. It is my belief that the first real major concerted effort to rediscover this physics and to master its basic principles was, in fact, undertaken by Nazi Germany during the years prior to World War II and then, of course, during the war itself, and that they were wildly successful beyond anybody's wildest imaginations. So I think, in some respects, the caller is correct, that there is at work a deliberate attempt to find these ancient texts, and more importantly, one of the things I bring out in The Cosmic War is a Sumerian text that's called The Exploits of Ninurta. And if you read this text, I reproduce it rather extensively in the book, if you read this text, it will strike you immediately as being a very odd sort of text to be considered mythology, because it is nothing less than an inventory of this very destructive technology that was captured or recovered from the vanquished part in this cosmic war by the victors. And that technology, in turn, when you read it, is done three things. There is a section or select part of this technology that is deliberately saved for use in other purposes. There is a part of this technology that is destroyed because it was used for nothing other than destructive purposes. But there is a third category that is the most interesting of them all. There is a component of this technology that could not be destroyed and that was used for destructive purposes, which was then carried off and hidden away. Now, the candidates for locations of where this technology would have been hidden would obviously have been places like Egypt or Sumeria or some of the other planets in the solar system, most likely Mars and the Moon. So I find it very interesting that we're in Iraq, and I find it very interesting that prior to us invading Iraq, the Germans and the French had archaeological teams working at the behest of Saddam Hussein himself to recover as much as they could from these ancient sites and to catalog them for the Baghdad Museum. And, of course, we remember the episode of the Baghdad Museum looting, which, if you study it, has every appearance of having been some sort of inside job done by somebody. So I think there may even be covert and extremely hidden and, if you will, occulted agendas at work in our presence in Iraq as well.
Well, you know, they made off with half their treasures, I think more than half,
yep.
Right after the war there, or as the war was first breaking out, actually.
Yeah, and not only that, there's something else, Charles, that's very significant. As far as I am able to find, the people that had the most complete catalog of what those French and German archaeological teams had discovered in Iraq were the Germans. And it's very interesting because if you dig long and hard enough on the Internet, you will discover that there is a very substantial presence of the German Bundesnachrichtendienst, which is kind of their version of the NSA or the CIA, that is present in Iraq. So it's a very interesting story. It's a very interesting idea to contemplate. But I think it boils down to the fact that, that basically Michael is right, that there is a deliberate concerted attempt on the part of some in the scientific community involved in the various black projects of the world that is a deliberate attempt to reconstruct this lost technology.
Yes, sir. The,
Outright suppression.
The, yep.
That technology, Joseph, I'm sure you are aware, is considered, the term they use for it would be viril, V-R-I-L.
Well, there is a persistent rumor, and it's, again, a rumor that when you dig, it's very difficult to find substantiation for it. But there has... Well, we'll wait till after the break.
Yeah, we got a break. Pick it up from there when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Hopefully I'm being heard clearly. The lead-in music there was kind of funky sound. You guys hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike, you still there with us?
Yes, sir, Charlie.
Yeah, did you have any more questions or comments?
That was pretty much it, guys. I appreciate very much taking a call, Charlie. Great show. Joseph, great work. I'm looking forward to reading more of your books.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Call any time. Yeah, you know, I wanted to mention, we were talking earlier about the Vimana and about the possibility, well, I would argue it's more than a possibility, but anyway, the idea of nuclear exchange in ancient India and other places, too, for that matter. But, there's also physical evidence of this. I mean, this isn't just some theory based on reading ancient texts. The ancient texts alone are pretty amazing by themselves, but you couple that with the physical evidence, you've got whole areas of desert that are covered with what's called desert glass, thin sheets, very similar to what was found after the atomic tests in the New Mexico desert.
Well, yeah, this is quite correct. And in fact, I talk about that particular phenomenon in the very first book, which is called the Giza Death Star. But there is also another interesting area in modern-day Pakistan, which is called Mohenjo-Daro, which is a city, an old city, that is a very advanced city, built out of stone and so on. It was obviously a pre-planned city with sewers and everything else. And it is completely vitrified. In other words, it looks as if it was exposed to very sudden, very intense radiation or heat, because the entire city looks like it's melted. In other words, if you were to build a little model wax city and stick it in the oven for a couple of minutes, it would begin to melt. Well, this is exactly the way that Mohenjo-Daro looks. And more importantly, the skeletons of humans that have been found in Mohenjo-Daro are oftentimes found together doing just everyday commonplace things. They're holding hands or they're engaged in some sort of activity. These skeletons are themselves completely vitrified. In other words, they're part of the rock itself of the city.
Yeah.
And the city itself has a background radiation, which has been measured by Soviet archaeologists, as a matter of fact, and by British archaeologists, that is a background radiation commensurate with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So in other words, all the signatures, so to speak, of some sort of nuclear weapon or perhaps even plasma weapon are there at Mohenjo-Daro.
Yeah, I mean, the skeletons were charred. They actually showed a relatively high degree of radioactivity.
Yep, absolutely.
And there's nothing known to man that can produce that kind of heat. I mean, a volcano certainly melts rock, but it melts it through and through, not just the outer millimeter or so layer.
Right, right.
And there is no volcano in that area anyway.
Right, and the other problem with, you mentioned the desert glass, there's an area of the southwestern Egyptian desert that is known as the Libyan Desert Glass. And this is a whole area that is quite literally covered with this green silicate material. And the conventional scientific wisdom, to put that in quotations, is that it was the cause of a meteor impact. But the problem is, there's no crater. So in other words, the only thing that can produce this kind of signature that we know of is some sort of airburst nuclear weapon, precisely.
Yeah. I mean, literally, there's just no other way to explain it. And, you know, what's been offered to us as an explanation, just it doesn't cut it. Of course, you could add to that the problem with the Oklo mine. In fact, there's about a dozen other mines like that around the world where there were nuclear chain reactions.
Right.
Because the natural uranium found in these mines shows signs of depletion that could only have resulted from a chain reaction, which, of course, requires, amongst other things, absolute pure water, which does not exist anywhere naturally on Earth.
Right. These so-called naturally occurring nuclear reactors that you find in Africa are some of the biggest mysteries that modern science has to explain. And I personally, at least as of this moment, I haven't really studied them in much depth, but I tend to agree with you that we may be looking again at some very, very old remains of a technological civilization.
Yeah, and again, you look at the Mahabharata.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself, you know, by the way, that document as we have it today, that section of it that's been translated, dates back to the mid-19th century. It predates the modern discovery of nuclear warfare. So, I mean, it wasn't translated with a knowledge of modern nuclear warfare. That's what's so amazing about it.
Right, exactly so. Exactly so. And this, again, you know, this is the case even more importantly with the Egyptian and Sumerian texts that I consult in the Cosmic War, because obviously those translators, when they were translating these texts, really didn't have any awareness of scalar physics or torsion-based physics. And more importantly, the people in ancient times who composed those texts and most likely did so on the basis of some previously existing tradition that they had heard or had been passed down to them, they certainly would not have known of this physics. And yet when you read them with an eye to finding that physics, it's there. So it had to have existed in ancient times.
No question. Okay, we're going to go to another short break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got our guest here, Joseph Farrell. And, yeah, you know, coming back to the thing with meteorites, to me, I mean, the case is in the bag that what we see falling to Earth, what I have in my collection are pieces of this once-destroyed planet. A great many meteorites, as I'm sure you know, actually show indications of having been involved in major collisions. You know, the brecciated meteorites, they're right. Literally chunks of rock that solidify together. You can tell they look like broken, you know, pieces of puzzle pieces just glued together in this matrix.
Right.
And, you know, so it's obvious they did once comprise this planet that existed between Mars and Jupiter, the remnants of which now are the asteroid belt. And some, you know, that's another lame, very lame excuse the scientists give to try to argue that hypothesis away. They'll say, "Oh, there isn't enough material in the asteroid belt to make up a planet." Well, it flung every which way. Some of it remained there.
Yeah.
But if you look around the solar system, every moon, every planet that has a solid surface is loaded, plastered with craters.
Right.
Impact craters. This would be your debris having flung every which way.
Right. Right. Well, the other thing that you mentioned there, that scientists argue that, you know, there isn't sufficient mass in the asteroid belt to comprise a planet. Well, Van Flandern, who's updated the exploded planet hypothesis, has very neatly dispatched gist of that whole argument, because, again, as you've argued, he points out that such an explosion would literally vaporize much of the planet in the instant of the explosion itself, and then
yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
yeah, that, you know, the missing mass is partly explainable, largely due to the mass to energy conversion. You know, E equals mc squared. But the other part of the missing mass is simply that debris shockwave would by now have utterly dissipated and probably extended far beyond the solar system itself. And then the final point that he makes is that some of that missing mass is in the comets themselves, because comets were really the reason that he started to investigate this hypothesis in the first place and to revive it, because he found that when he plotted the orbits of the known comets, statistically, they fell out to a point of origin in the asteroid belt, in his calculations, that made the explosion occur at approximately either 65 million or 3.2 million years ago. So those two dates actually became kind of the chronological benchmarks that I use in Cosmic War to examine some of these ancient texts. And it's very interesting that the Sumerian texts and the Vedic texts, the Hindu texts, seem to corroborate this 3.2 million years ago date for that planetary explosion.
Yeah, interesting when you see these different evidences all coming together. But again, you know, how can anybody deny? You look at the whole solar system, obviously it screams out at you, disaster, catastrophe in the distant past, all the bodies. And even the ones that don't have solid surfaces, like, you know, the planet Uranus, it's tipped on its side. Something knocked that sucker over.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And one of the, you know, since you mentioned that, in the Enuma Elish, which I cite very extensively in the Giza Death Star Destroyed, and then again I cite it in the Cosmic War. One of the interesting things in the Enuma Elish is that Marduk, who is the major god that goes to war against Tiamat, when the destruction of Tiamat is accomplished, in other words, when that planet is blown up, there's a very curious statement at the end of that passage in that particular text, and it states that Marduk, quote, remeasured the structure of the deep, unquote. In other words, when that planet exploded, the geometry, the celestial mechanics of the solar system was completely shattered. And so everything that was based on the physics of that geometrical energy in the solar system had to be reconfigured. And that's exactly what we see Marduk doing in this text. And there's a further corroboration from the Sumerian and Babylonian traditions in that at some point in the distant past, the previously existing astrological signs, the zodiac, were completely revamped from an old system to a new system based on the sun god Marduk.
Very interesting. And, you know, something else just came to mind, bringing in meteorites as another piece of evidence. You know, it's your nickel iron meteorites.
Right.
If you cut them and etch them in acid, they produce this crisscross crystalline pattern called the Windmannstein pattern, which scientists themselves admit that, you know, for crystals to form forcefully into each other like that requires a lot of heat and pressure.
Right,
well, there you
exactly.
go. You know, they believe that planets are comprised of iron cores. Well, there you have it. These
right.
are pieces of the once iron core of this planet. They crystallized under that tremendous heat and pressure. Then you have, I'm sure you've heard of the palisites, which are combinations of these nickel iron meteorites that include these olivine yellow to orange crystals. And there's a big problem with these things. Technically, they shouldn't exist because the amount of heat to melt what you could basically call steel, you know, these nickel iron meteorites,
right,
is so immense that it would have caused these crystals, which have a much lower melting point, to have mixed thoroughly in with the metal, not to be, you know, staying together and producing this pimento loaf looking effect, you know, where
right.
you have these crystals. So for that to have happened, it had to happen under catastrophic conditions where this
yes.
molten material hardened very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
In the So, I mean, this, you know, probably represents these type of meteorites, the transition between the iron core and the mantle, where you have more silicate minerals.
Right.
And when the thing exploded, they mixed to some degree, but instantly froze in the deep freeze of space. And so there wasn't time for the materials to mix chemically. I mean, there's right. no way to explain it except, a catastrophic event.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. And it's interesting that in Van Flandern's exploration of the exploded planet hypothesis, one of the things that he dwells upon as evidence for this event to have been a real occurrence is precisely this type of evidence in meteorites. Because in each case, we have either to contend with the fact that this planet was a tremendously massive body, or we must explain them precisely as the result of this cataclysmic explosion. There are no other options for the adequate explanation of these types of meteorites.
Right. So what do? They basically just ignore this stuff. They don't bring it up. But it's a major problem for their hypothesis.
Well, again, you know, the fact that they're ignoring it, to me, really means that there may be a covert agenda in play, namely that if we accept the exploded planet hypothesis, once again we have to go back to the fact that there is no good model within standard physics to explain why a planet should suddenly, of natural causes, explode. So we are left with the only other plausible explanation, and that is that it was a deliberate act of war. And when we say that, then we imply the existence of a physics and technology with the capacity to do just that. And that's what they're really covering up.
Yeah, and again, you come back to the Mahabharata, and it talks about the Ignaya weapon. When it exploded, it burst forth with the power of 10,000 suns and incinerated everything, you know, in its path,
right.
and caused
right.
Birds to fall from the skies, elephants to turn white and burst into flames, and hair and nails fell out. People ran to the rivers to wash themselves from the poison ray.
Right.
I mean, come on. This
yes.
is not some wild imagination here. Every one of these details is exactly what you would expect from nuclear fallout. Anyway, we've got Melissa in Austin, my buddy Melissa on the phone. Welcome, Melissa.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I can't remember who I was listening to here lately, but they were talking about the moon, Earth's moon, being an artificial thing, something made, not a natural heavenly body.
Right.
Monsanto product.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, and then, of course, I also have heard, I think it was Freeman talking about this on one of his shows, but it's something about a Death Star. And
oh, well, Saturn's moon Iapetus.
Yes.
Hoagland's stuff that he's done on that is absolutely fascinating.
Sure.
I mean, that,
yeah.
it does look artificial. It's very,
what about
that ridge that it has running around, what's that?
What about the our moon?
All right.
Being
well,
an
Charlie is correct, because Richard Hoagland has an amazing set of papers on his website at Enterprise Mission, in which he explores the artificiality of Saturn's moon Iapetus. And I reproduce a chapter of the book in The Cosmic War dedicated to exploring Hoagland's work in this respect and his hypotheses for explaining it. So he has, to my mind, made an absolutely solid case for the hypothesis that Saturn's moon Iapetus is an artificial body. And again, Charles is right, because Hoagland reproduces a picture, and I put this in the book, of a comparison of actual NASA photos of Iapetus and then the Star Wars movie version of the Death Star, and the resemblance is not only palpable, it's absolutely eerie. Now, as for our moon, the whole idea of our moon being an artificial body was actually first seriously proposed by some Russian physicists and astronomers back in the 1970s, and an American author by the name of Don Wilson picked up on this idea and published a book called our mysterious spaceship moon. And again, I talk about this hypothesis in The Cosmic War. The reason that the Russians considered this hypothesis seriously, and I have to be very honest, I do myself, is that the physics of the moon, where it is, how it orbits the Earth, how it rotates on its own axis in such a fashion that only about 60% of the surface of the moon and the same surface of the moon is visible to the Earth at any given moment. Now, for all of this to have happened on the basis of the standard theory that physics uses to explain its presence there in that orbit is called the capture model. In other words, modern science in its standard theory seriously proposes that this object wandered through the solar system and then neatly parked itself in this almost perfect circular orbit around the Earth and did so in such a fashion that its own axis of rotation only turned one face towards the Earth at any given moment, and that it was at the precise distance from the Earth in order to create a total eclipse of the sun on certain occasions. Now, statistically, you're piling up such a string of coincidences there that make that physics model almost impossible to achieve. And there's one final very important point to note about the problem with that model. Anytime a body enters the gravitational well of a larger, more massive body, that object will begin naturally to accelerate. As it accelerates towards the larger object, if it doesn't crash into it, it will whip around the object and gain speed, and its orbit will be increasingly elliptical. This is not what we find with the moon. If the moon were captured, its orbit would be far more eccentric than it actually is. The only way to explain the orbit of the moon, in other words, is instead of accelerating as it entered the Earth's gravitational well, it would have actually had to have slowed down. Or if you want to draw the analogy, it literally was braked.
Yeah. Mm. By design.
By design. And the interesting thing is, you know, people always ask me that if I've ever seen a UFO, and I say, well, yes, I see one every time the moon's visible in the sky.
because
there really isn't any good model in standard theory at all. There's just no good model at all for explaining why it is there doing what it's doing.
It's an unusually large size, too. I think it's comparatively with looking at the whole rest of the solar system, no other moon is as large compared to its parent body.
Yes, exactly so. And in real point of fact, the Earth-Moon system is really a binary planet system because of the fact that the moon is so very large.
Right, right. Very interesting. Somebody's mooning us, I think.
I have a couple of, I have two other comments, Charlie.
Sure.
First one would be kind of funny, maybe. I want to talk to David Gilmour and Roger Waters and see where in the world they learned what they learned, i.e. the dark side of the moon, Pink Floyd. And then the other comment, which is totally serious, is that all of these things, that the more scientific evidence we discover, it still, to me, just lines up with what the Bible says. And there isn't a contradiction. There is a confirmation.
So many other ancient texts, you know, you have a lot of interesting scientific statements in there, too, as well as a lot of the other ancient texts from around the world.
Yeah, but I'm one of those intolerant people who thinks that the God of the Bible is the most high God. So, you know, I'm one of those.
But I'm just saying that you can see an advanced knowledge of stuff,
sure,
across the board. And the Bible is another example of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is all very fascinating to me.
Was there another point you said? I thought you said two.
No, just the Pink Floyd thing. You know, how dark side of the moon, huh? Because that's one of the standards that I carry in my car, and when I'm bored and nothing else is on the radio, that's what goes into the CD player. So
it's kind of a misnomer. There's really no such thing as a dark side, quote-unquote, just that we never see the far side of the moon.
Right.
Right.
Well, I think maybe the dark side is aiming at us. It's the one in the shadow from the sun, so... But, you know, we'll find out one of these days, I bet.
Join the dark side.
Yes, Luke, yes.
Had to throw that in there.
All right,
thanks, Melissa. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a fascinating universe when you look at it, again, outside the box. You know, it's so stale when you things from the perspective of mainstream science. I mean, they have not even offered us a decent explanation for what gravity is. Do they know and they're not telling us, or do they not know themselves and want us to think they know? The truth is, we don't have a clue why things are held together the way they are. Okay, guys, short break. Stick with us. Be right back.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Just got a few more minutes left here with our guest, Joel Farrell. Well, this is kind of taking us a little bit off the subject, but do you have any Bible theory for gravity? I'm still looking for one. As far as we've come, or seemingly come, they don't have any legitimate, you know, feasible theory for why planets are held in orbit, why stars are held in orbit. What in the world causes gravity?
Well, I think to answer that in a very, very short fashion, and we could do a whole show on this subject.
Yeah, for sure.
But I really think that the best explanation that's out there is some form of hyperdimensional torsion or scalar-based physics, because it's only when we consider the possibility of the real existence of higher dimensions that we can really make any sense of electromagnetic forces and gravity and so on and so forth. And in fact, I think, again, this is really the physics that the Nazis were after with their Bell project. And I really do believe that it's the most plausible physics model out there. Richard Hoagland has just published a new book in which he discusses some of the predictive power of this particular theory. And it's
hey, if you could pass my email on to him and tell him I'd like to get him. I can't get a hold of the guy.
I've been in fairly regular contact with him, but he is hard to get a hold of, and I think
he is.
It's going to be even more difficult now that this new book is out, because he does have a very heavy round of conferences and
yeah, sounds like I got David Icke booked for January. He's busy till the end of the year.
Yeah.
Hoagland, I imagine
Hoagland is booked solid. He's at a press conference today, as a matter of fact, in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club, but I really think that we have to look at very seriously at some of the papers. I have a new book coming out that does this, of some of the papers that were published in the 1920s concerning unified field theory. I think we have to go back and rethink a lot of our physics.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot more strange phenomenon out there than what they want to let on, a lot more things they don't understand that they want us to think they understand. Anyway,
right.
Real quick, we got a call before we take them, though, just to remind people, if you want to get Joe's new book, you can do that by going to the Adventures Unlimited website. Is there anything else you want to plug real quick, and then we'll go to our caller?
Well, yeah, if they want to get the book, The Cosmic War, it's $18.95. My other books are $16.95 each. The publisher has a special on three books or more with 10%. And Amazon.com right now, if they look up The Cosmic War on that particular site, they will discover that Amazon's offering a special deal of The Cosmic War with Hoagland's new book. So that's another possibility. But the publisher's number is 1-800-718-4514, or alternatively online at www.adventuresunlimitedpress. That's all one word, and it's all lowercase, .com.
All right. And let's go to our call. We get another minute or two. Mike in New York is back with us. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Charlie. Joseph, thanks for taking my call again. Melissa just triggered another thought following up on the conversation. What about Mars, the second moon of Mars called Phobos, which in Greek means fear?
Right.
And it's well known to be a hollow artificial satellite. It does orbit Mars in an opposite direction that all the natural satellites operate.
Let him go real quick.
In The Cosmic War, I do discuss Phobos, and I do talk about its artificiality.
Yeah.
Okay,
very, very interesting. All right, thanks a lot, Joe, for coming on. We'll have you on again sometime. Talk about your other blockbuster book if you want.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Charlie. That sounds like a plan, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Great work. Keep it up. All right, folks, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Another great guest. Take care. See you then.
With recent internet